Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, for an hour of radio sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear Burns and Allen with special guest, radio legend in his own right, Eddie Cantor. Right now, it's Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young, from March 22, 1951 on NBC.
Mother, is Maxwell House the best coffee in the whole world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
It's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by Maxwell House, the coffee that's bought and enjoyed by more people than any other brand of coffee at any price. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop. A wondrous gift I bring to thee, bright as a star in a velvet sky, light as a moonbeam dancing by, and I call my gift contentment. It's raining in Springfield. It's been raining, as a matter of fact, for the past 3 days. In the white frame house on Maple Street, close confinement has sharpened nerves to a razor's edge, and tension mounts precariously with each falling raindrop. Dramatic, isn't it?
Go ahead, Kathy.
Wait a minute. Kathy, I'll trade you Indiana Avenue and the electric company for Marvin Gardens.
I don't want Marvin Gardens.
Daddy?
Yes, Kathy?
How many do I need for the B&O Railroad?
5.
I hope you get a 10 and land in jail.
Bud.
Well, she's got all the other railroads now.
Bud, if you and Betty can't be good sports about it...
Father, I don't mind losing, but she gets the boardwalk and Park Place every game, and what fun is it?
Well, what do you know? 5.
All right, Bud. Give her the other railroad.
Here's $200, Bud. Put another house on the boardwalk.
You can't put any more houses on the boardwalk. You've got a hotel now.
Well, why cannot, Father? She doesn't know any more about this game than a rabbit.
I do, too.
You do not.
I do, too.
Nothing I like more than a nice, quiet game of Monopoly.
I do, too.
Rain. 3 whole days, and all it does is...
All right, Bud.
What?
It's your turn.
Oh. Where am I?
North Carolina Avenue.
Don't roll a 7, Buddy. You'll land on the boardwalk.
Kathy.
I told him not to, Daddy.
4. Well, that's more like it.
It puts you on chance.
I hope I go to jail and stay there the rest of the game.
Bud.
Yes, Dan?
It says advance token to boardwalk.
Oh, no.
$2,000.
Bud, I'm afraid...
Jim!
Hmm?
Jim!
What is it, Margaret? What's the matter?
Jim, come up here quickly.
I'll be right up, honey.
Bud!
I have to go upstairs.
You owe me $2,000.
Send him a bill.
Daddy!
Not now, Kathy. What's wrong, Margaret?
Jim, look at the ceiling. It's ruined.
Jumping, Jehoshaphat. We forgot to empty the buckets.
All over the wall and the rug.
Come on, Bud.
Boy, what a mess.
How about my $2,000? Don't worry, Mother. Father will fix it.
Good grief, the whole attic.
Boy, what a mess.
Well, don't stand there. Do something. Open the window.
Okay.
Margaret, send the girls up here with some mops. Margaret!
I heard you, Jim.
Well, why didn't you say something? And tell them to hurry up. Water all over everything.
Some mess, huh, Dad?
Just stand out of the way, Bud. I've got to empty these buckets.
Want me to help?
Of course not. I just brought you along to keep me company.
Well, all I said was...
Come on, Bud. Grab a bucket. Don't stand there.
Well, you just told me...
Grab a bucket!
Holy cow.
The worst rain in 20 years, and it has to come when there's a hole in the roof. Bud, throw it out the window!
That's what I did.
I asked you to do a simple thing like dump a bucket of water out of a window, and you can't even do that right.
Well, gosh, it was heavy, Dad, and I only spilled a couple of drops.
Now grab another bucket and stop talking.
Did they all run... Oh, Jim, look at this place.
It's going to be all right, Margaret.
Kathy, stop pushing me.
Well, I want to see.
Now, is that the last one?
I think so.
All right, close the window.
Oh, Jim...
Now, wait a minute, Margaret. It isn't going to do any good to cry about it.
I asked you to have the roof fixed. I pleaded
with
you.
All right, girl, start mopping.
Go ahead, Kathy. What is Mommy crying about? Never mind.
Margaret. Oh, honey, listen to me. This rain's got us all on edge. We're nervous and irritable. But we can't let it get us down, can we?
Want me to do something, Dad?
Yes, put the buckets back where they belong.
Okay.
Margaret.
I hate this house.
Margaret.
I do. It's old and it's ugly and it's falling apart and I hate every bit of it.
Honey, you're just tired. I know it isn't any fun being cooped up here for 3 days, but...
It was bad enough before, but now...
Margaret, there isn't anything that can't be fixed.
I've been telling you for years the house isn't big enough for us. We need another bathroom and more closets and another bedroom.
We've been all through that, Margaret, and this isn't the time...
It certainly is the time. Look at this place. I'm ashamed to have our friends see it.
Well, we just won't let them come up into the attic, that's all.
Jim, this is not the time for jokes.
I can't think of a better time. How are you doing, Betty?
We're practically finished. I'm hungry.
Well, as soon as we get through up here, we'll go down to a nice hot dinner. Then we'll all feel better.
We're going to have hamburgers.
Again?
Bud Anderson, if you don't like my cooking, you can arrange to eat somewhere else.
Margaret.
I didn't say anything. All
Never
I said
mind,
was...
Never mind, Bud.
It isn't bad enough that I have to stand over a stove all afternoon.
Honey, he didn't mean anything.
You're just as bad as he is. Just because he's your son.
Here we go.
If it were one of the girls, you wouldn't be so quick to defend them.
I wasn't defending him, Margaret. I merely said...
The only two girls in the entire neighborhood without new Easter outfits. And you don't even care.
I do care. I told you to buy them new clothes for Easter, didn't I?
With prices the way they are today? Jim Anderson, are you out of your mind?
I told you to buy them, and if you didn't want to buy them, why blame it on me?
Janie Liggett got a whole new outfit.
Don't mention Janie Liggett to me again.
There you are. All she has to do is say one word, and you fly off the handle, because she isn't your son.
My son didn't get any new clothes for Easter, did he? You didn't hear him complaining, did you?
I don't want any clothes.
You see?
Patty Davis got a new hat and new coat.
Kathy.
And...
What good are clothes?
Just because you don't care how you look.
I care as much as anybody, but why throw money away on clothes when you can get a gasoline scooter for only... I was only going to tell you...
I don't care what you were going to tell me.
But I'm practically the only kid in the whole school...
The front doorbell rang.
I'm practically the only kid in the whole school...
Will you please see who's at the door?
From here?
Go downstairs and see who's at the door.
A bicycle. I'm practically the only kid in the whole school who doesn't have a joy wagon, and I can't even have a gasoline scooter. You'd think I was a kid or something.
Margaret.
There isn't anything more we can do up here, girls, so we'd better go downstairs.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I have to tie my shoelace.
Margaret, I'd like to explain...
There isn't anything to explain. Go ahead, girls.
But you don't even know...
Jim, please. I'd rather not discuss it right now.
Oh, I don't know. One little accident and the whole world is coming to an end. The house is no good. The furniture's no good. I'm no good.
No one said anything about the furniture.
Oh, but you agree about me. The furniture's fine, but...
Daddy! Keep quiet, Kathy.
Betty, you and Kathleen go into the bathroom and get ready for dinner.
Okay, Mother. Come on, Button Face.
Who's a Mutton Face?
I said Button Face.
Oh.
Margaret.
I'd better get started on the hamburgers if you and your son have no objections.
You know the way Bud loves hamburgers. He'll eat them until he's sick.
Bud has never gotten sick on my hamburgers.
I know. Honey, what's gotten into you? I've never seen you like this before.
Well, if you had rain dripping down on your ceiling for 3 days...
But it is my ceiling. That's what I've been trying to tell you. It's as much my ceiling and my house as it is yours.
Then why don't you take a little pride in it?
Oh, Margaret, for the love of Pete.
Dad.
Bud, I'm talking to your mother.
There's a man here who wants to know if he can use the phone.
Well, tell him to come in. Don't keep him out there in the rain.
Would you like to come in?
Well, thank you very much, son.
I hate to barge in on you folks like this.
Having a little trouble?
No, not trouble exactly. Can't rightly call a little thing like this trouble. Just got a little water in the distributor, I think.
Bud, why don't you close the door?
Well,
it... Ma'am, if you don't mind, would it be all right if we left it open? I got my young'uns out in the car, and if you close the door...
You mean your family's out there in the rain?
Well, what family I got. Just Betsy and little Skip. But you don't have to worry about...
Jim, we can't let them stay outside.
Of course not. But...
Mister, we're being an awful bother the way it is. I don't want...
Bud, put on your raincoat and rubbers.
If it's all right to bring them in, you won't have to bother about fetching them.
Well, naturally, it's all right.
That's sure neighborly of you.
Betsy!
We're okay, Pa.
Stick Skipper's hat on and bring him in.
Okay.
Ah, she's a good girl, Betsy. Only 8, but she's got a head on her.
Bud, see if you can't help them.
Never mind, Bud. I'll go.
Jim, put your coat on.
I'll be all right. Hello there, Betsy.
Hi.
Come on, little fella. There, I've got you.
Sure raining, ain't it? Skipper, don't say ain't.
One more second and we'll be inside where it's nice and warm.
Our car's busted.
Here we are.
Pa, Skipper said ain't.
Oh, you poor angels, you're wringing wet.
They'll be all right, ma'am. Been wet lots of times before.
Betsy.
Bud, run upstairs and get some blankets.
Okay.
And tell Kathy to bring down her slippers.
You bet, Dad.
Honey, don't you think they could use a little warm milk?
I certainly do.
Betsy, honey, let's mind our manners.
I can't help it, Pa. Skipper wants to know if this is heaven.
Well, maybe now Margaret won't think her house is so bad after all. Young Skipper sounds even more convincing than Father. But more often than not, ladies, the head of the house is the one whose opinion you value most. And that's certainly true about coffee. Fact is, your husband is the world's greatest coffee expert. Yes, the one who knows most about truly good coffee is that man of yours. Start serving your husband coffee with the world's most famous flavor, our Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
There's one thing you've got to hand to the philosophers. They're pretty philosophical and smart, too. Take Socrates, for example. He said, if all our misfortunes were laid in one common heap, whence everyone must take an equal portion, most people would be content to take their own and depart. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It does to the Andersons, anyway. Like this.
Another cup of coffee, Mr. Matthews?
Mr. Matthews?
I'm sorry. Matt, how about another cup of coffee?
Why, that'd be fine, thank you.
There you are.
Thank you, ma'am.
You know, Matt, there's no reason why you and the kids can't stay here tonight.
Well...
We can find room for them, can't we, Margaret?
Of course.
It's mighty nice of you folks. And don't think I don't appreciate it.
Well, then it's all settled. Betty!
No, Mr. Anderson, please. We've got to be in Plainville tonight or I won't have a job.
Did you call me, Father?
Never mind, Betty.
We're almost through with the dishes.
That's fine, dear.
Of course, it's only for 2 weeks, but I promised the man I'd be there, and I reckon he's counting on me.
Tell me, Matt, would you be interested in a permanent job around here?
My husband's in the insurance business, and he knows a lot of people, and I'm sure if he talked to them...
You know, it's like I used to tell Mary, that was my wife, if there's one thing you can count on in this world, it's people. Don't know how the world would get along without them.
That's a very interesting observation, but... Look, Matt, you can't keep traveling around with those 2 kids. It isn't fair to them. This business of working in Middletown 1 week and then going to Plainville for 2 more...
Mr. Anderson, there's one thing you don't seem to understand. We're not just traveling. We're going somewhere. But we've got to earn a living as we go, so it takes us longer than it does most folks. That's all.
Well, you don't have to go to Arizona, do you?
No, I suppose not. Doctor just says I'll live a little longer out there is all.
Oh. Well, you didn't say...
We'll just keep moving along, little by little. We'll get there.
I'm sure you will.
Get me a little farm like the one we just had washed away, maybe. Understand they don't wash away in Arizona.
Oh. Matt, wasn't there something you could salvage? Some equipment or stock or something?
Well, tell you the truth, there wasn't much to save. We had a lot of bills when the... Well, no sense bothering you folks with any more troubles. That sure was a wonderful dinner, Miss Anderson.
Thank you, Matt.
Say, Dad.
Well, the mechanical genius returns. How'd you make out, Bud?
You know what was wrong? The whole ignition system was wet, and I fixed it.
No.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
I ran an extension out to the car, and I hooked up the vacuum cleaner.
Bud, you didn't take my good vacuum cleaner.
Margaret.
I mean... How could you possibly fix Mr. Matthews' car with a vacuum cleaner?
It was easy. I put the blower attachment on it, and boy, you should have seen those wires dry out.
Now, I call that real smart. I wouldn't have thought of that in 1,000 years.
I don't think anyone would. Except Bud.
And you don't have to worry about the vacuum cleaner either. Kathy's rubbing oil on it.
That'll be nice.
I better go see that she does a good job.
That's what I like about a family. Everybody pitching in and helping.
Pa?
Oh, better round Skipper up, Betsy. We'll be leaving in a minute.
Okay. Hey, Skip.
Say, I've got an idea. Why don't you leave the kids here for a few days?
Oh, I don't think...
That's a wonderful idea, Jim. They don't have to be in Plainville tonight. Why don't you, Matt?
Well... I never thought of being away from my kids, but...
It won't be for long, just until the weather clears up.
There's lots of room for them. This is a big house, you know.
It sure is. Biggest one I've ever been in. Prettiest, too. I'm not surprised that Skipper thought it was heaven.
Oh, Jim.
Well, how about it, Matt? Will you let them stay?
Well, if it's all right with them, it's all right with me.
Good. Betsy!
We're washing Skipper's face, Daddy. We'll have him ready in a couple of minutes.
Bring him in here, Betsy. We want to talk to you.
Okay. I mean, yes, sir.
Mother, that Skipper's the cutest thing you ever saw. He's got jam on his face from here clear down to... What's the matter, Mother?
Nothing, dear. Not a thing.
Mr. Matthews is going to let the children stay with us for a few days. What do you think of that?
Creepers, that'll be wonderful. We can move Bud down to the den.
All right, we'll take care of that when the time comes. And Matt, you won't have to worry about a thing.
Oh, I know that.
They can spend Easter with us, and then sometime next week, we'll all take a little ride over to Plainville.
Daddy, look at Skipper.
Oh, Kathy, what have you done to that poor child?
It's Bud's old cowboy suit. Oh.
Well, hop along, Skipper himself.
He's a real cowboy, isn't he, Betsy?
He's something.
He got into the jam, and he spread it all
Skipper.
Over the... I'm a cowboy, and I'm going to shoot everybody dead.
I'm sure sorry, folks. Betsy, I told you to watch him.
I know, Pa, but I was drying the dishes.
It isn't anything to worry about, Matt. Kathy, take that silly-looking hat off him. He can't see.
I'm going to shoot engines, too.
Betsy, I've been talking to your father, and... How would you and Skipper like to stay with us for a few days?
Daddy! You mean, without Pa? Shoot him dead in the mackerel.
Now, simmer down, Skipper. Mr. Anderson's talking to you, too.
Are they really going to stay here, Daddy? Really?
Be quiet, Kathy.
Oh, Betsy, please say you'll do it. We'll have such a lot of fun.
Pa?
Yes, honey?
Who's going to take care of you?
Now, just a minute. I took care of myself long before you came along.
Ma said you never took care of yourself good.
He'll get along fine, Betsy. We just thought...
We'd like very much to have you, dear. You and Skipper would have your own room, and you wouldn't be out in that horrible rain.
Pa, do you want us to stay here?
It's only for a few days, honey. But I don't want you to do something that you don't want to do. I want you to make up your own mind.
I made it up.
Well, that's fine.
We'll keep going with Pa. Gee whiz.
Betsy, I'd like to explain to you.
Won't do any good explaining to that child. Once her mind's made up, it's made up.
May I try?
Why, sure. Go right ahead.
Betsy, don't you like us?
I like you fine. You can play with all my toys, and I'll teach you how to play the piano.
Now, wait a minute, Kathy. Let's not...
Oh, but I will. Oh, Betsy, please say you'll stay.
We have to go with Pa.
To shoot engines.
Betsy, it's very cold and nasty outside. And if you stay here, we'll build a big fire in the fireplace, and we'll toast marshmallows.
I have to take care of my Pa.
But, darling...
Margaret, leave the child alone. She knows what she wants to do.
I want to stay here.
Betsy!
All my life, I wanted to stay in a house like this, with electric lights and a piano.
Honey.
But they don't mean much if you haven't got your folks. And Pa's all the folks we've got left.
Well, that takes care of that. Come on, Skipper. We better get your coat on.
I'll take care of it, Mr. Matthews. Come on, Skip.
Do I have to take off the cowboy suit?
No, dear. That's yours to keep.
Oh, boy! Gonna kill all the engines in the world!
Daddy, do they have sidewalks in Arizona?
I suppose so. Where are you going?
I'll be right back.
Jim, if Bud hasn't really fixed the car...
Oh, I think he has, ma'am. It was just a little wet.
Bud? I'll be right in, Dad.
Betsy, I have a coat that's much too small for Kathy, and I'll bet it'll fit you just right.
Pa?
Well...
It'll be an Easter present, won't it, Jim?
Say, Matt, I wonder if you'd do me a favor. I've got a raincoat that's always been too tight across the shoulders for me, and I was thinking that if you take it off my hands, I could get one that'd fit me.
I was a stranger. Thou didst feed me.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Nothing. I was just thinking.
Hey, Mom, what happened to the jam? It's all... Well, where's everybody going?
The Matthews have to leave, dear.
Gosh, what for? I was going to show Skipper...
Will you get Kathy's blue coat like a good boy? I'm sure it'll fit Betsy perfectly.
Okay. But gosh, why can't they stay till it stops raining?
Betsy!
You sure you wouldn't want to stay here in Springfield?
I can't think of any place I'd rather stay, but we'd better be going.
Betsy, as long as you won't stay here...
I can't take your skates.
Oh, sure you can. My daddy says they've got sidewalks.
Can't take them.
But if Kathy wants you to...
You aren't supposed to take something unless you can give something, are you, Pa?
Take them, baby.
But I haven't anything to give.
We'll give them our love for the rest of our lives.
Matt?
Well, Skipper's all set. How does he look?
Betty!
He wouldn't let me take the guns off, so I had to put the coat over them.
Oh. We're going to Arizona.
I know, darling.
Is this the one, Mom?
That's it, dear. Come on, Betsy, let's try it on.
Well, while we're trying coats on, slip into this, Matt.
Folks,
see? What did I tell you? Fits like it was made for you. They tell me it's just the thing they're wearing in Arizona.
Thank you very much.
There. Now, what do you think of our young lady?
Isn't it beautiful, Pa?
It looks much prettier on you than it... It looks beautiful.
Well, if... We're going to get to Plainville tonight.
Good luck to you, Matt. And thanks for stopping by. Won't even try to say thank you. Wouldn't know how.
Take care of your Pa, Betsy.
I will.
And keep Skipper good and warm.
Shoot a few Indians for me, Skip.
Okay. And when you get to Arizona, send us a postcard.
We'll write you a long letter, won't we, Bet?
Bye, Kathy.
Goodbye.
Father...
I know what you're going to say, Betty, and you don't have to.
Does that apply to me as well?
Sure, I'm in a noble mood.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Skip and Betty.
Bye.
Well, that takes care of that.
Jim, if they break down again...
It's all right, honey. I put some money in the coat pocket.
I hope she likes my skates.
Gosh, those poor kids.
They aren't poor, Bud. Not any of them.
But, Father...
They don't have a house, and they don't have a lot of money, but they aren't poor.
Then why did I give her my skates?
That isn't what your father means, Angel.
But he said...
We gave the Matthews food and coats and skates. But they gave us something far more wonderful, kitten. They gave us one another.
It's midnight now, and the white frame house on Maple Street is peaceful and quiet. The children are fast asleep, but not Margaret and Jim. They're, well, it's really Jim's fault. Like this.
Jim?
All right, honey. Go back to sleep.
Why aren't you in bed?
I just went in to see if the children were all right.
Are they?
They're fine.
Jim, if you're going to stand in the window, please put your robe on. Now what is it?
I've been thinking about the Matthews, that's all. They'll be all right, won't they?
Of course they will.
I was just wondering if I shouldn't have put a little more in the coat pocket.
What did you put in?
$10. It was all I had.
Jim.
Yes, dear.
I put 10 in the other pocket.
Say, Margaret.
Yes, dear.
It stopped raining.
It has?
Isn't that beautiful? All the stars are out.
When you serve a hot cereal at breakfast time, do you hear this?
I don't want any old cereal.
When you'd rather hear this?
Mmm, good, Mommy.
Well, to get your children to eat a hot cereal in the morning, get them Post Wheat Meal. Just tell them Post Wheat Meal is Hopalong Cassidy's favorite hot cereal, and they'll eat it too. Post Wheat Meal is chock full of solid whole wheat nourishment, has a wonderful nut-like flavor, and it cooks in 3.5 minutes. You'll see, you'll all agree, it's the best hot cereal you ever ate.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Barkey and the Maxwell House Orchestra. In our cast were June Whitley as Margaret, Rhoda Williams, Ted Donaldson, Norma Jean Nilsen, Howard Culver, Stuffy Singer, Sheila James, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James.
Father Knows Best from the 22nd of March, 1951 on NBC. It would be 3 years later, in October of 1954, that the program would make it to television with Robert Young, the star, as Jim Anderson, the only surviving member of the radio cast to make that transition. And it was seen on CBS through 1955 with a switch to NBC through 1958 and back to the CBS through April of 1963, a television institution. This is Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lavigne. You're listening to an hour of radio sitcoms, now on to Maxwell House Coffee Time, better known to fans at that time as the Burns and Allen program. Special guest Eddie Cantor appears from the day after Christmas, 1946, on NBC.
It's George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Twas the day after Christmas, and in the Burns house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Oops, my mistake. George is stirring.
You know, Gracie, I just can't get over this beautiful Christmas present Eddie Cantor gave me. $110 smoking jacket.
Yes, it's hard to believe, all right, but there's the price tag hanging right on it.
That was probably an oversight on the part of some clerk. Eddie would die if he knew it was on there.
Well, then why does his card read, Merry Christmas from Eddie Cantor, who paid $110 for this jacket?
Some clerk wrote that.
Did you see what it says on the outside of the package?
No.
It says special delivery. What's 13 cents to a man who's already spent $110?
Well, I don't care. It's a beautiful gift. Boy, $110. I'll bet that's more than he spent on Ida.
Well, of course it is. He got her for nothing.
I meant that's more than he spent on her Christmas present.
Something awfully strange about this, George. It's not like Eddie Cantor to spend all this money.
Well, I guess he figures he can't take it with him.
Judge, if Eddie can't take it with him, he'll find a way to send for it. There's the door. I'll answer it.
see, a $110 smoking jacket. No more of those 2-for-a-nickel cigars while I'm wearing this. From now on, I smoke only Royal Havana Super Deluxe King Specials. 3 for a dime.
That was the delivery man, George. Look, someone sent you an Erector set.
Erector set?
Uh-huh.
That's a child's toy. Somebody's trying to rib me. What does the card say?
It says, to little Georgie Podgy from Santa Claus.
Oh, fine.
George, did you write Santa Claus a letter?
This is not from Santa Claus. It's from somebody who wants to pull my leg.
Oh, that's your tailor. He's always wanted to get your legs even.
My legs are even. Some wise guy. Anyway, this Erector set just makes me appreciate Eddie Cantor's gift all the more. $110 smoking jacket. Now, there's a present.
Oh, well, don't feel so bitter about this Erector set, dear. Maybe it'll be lots of fun. Look at the things it says you can make with it. A teeter-totter?
A teeter-totter? Oh, jolly. Won't the fellows at the cigar store envy me when they see my teeter-totter?
Well, now, just a minute.
I'll hide it behind my back and say, guess what, fellas? And they'll say, golf clubs? Fishing tackle? And I'll say, no. A teeter-totter.
Oh, I'll answer it, dear. You played with your Erector set.
Play with it, my foot. I wouldn't touch the silly thing.
Good morning, Missy Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Postman. Well, how do you feel? Did delivering all that Christmas mail wear you out?
Oh, yeah. My feet have blisters that belong on a B-29.
Oh, you poor man.
I delivered more mail than Bing Crosby's obstetrician.
Well, I hope Santa Claus is good to you. Was there something nice in your stocking yesterday morning?
Yes, but there was something horrible in my wife's stocking.
Oh, what was it?
My wife. How about your Christmas, Mrs. Burns? Was the jolly old gentleman with the big tummy good to you?
Oh, George is always good to me. This year he gave me a lovely gold bracelet. I picked it out myself.
Then it wasn't a surprise?
Well, it will be to George. He doesn't know about it yet. And right now, I don't dare tell him. He's in a pretty bad humor.
How come?
Oh, some practical joker gave him a child's toy for Christmas. One of those Erector sets. George is furious.
I pulled a similar joke on my wife, Bertha, one Christmas. I gave her a broom.
Well, what's wrong with giving your wife a broom?
It had a saddle and stirrups on it. Bertha was mad as a hornet.
Well, I'll bet it handed you a laugh.
Laugh? I thought I'd die. And so did the doctor. Well, goodbye, Missy Burns. You remember, keep smiling.
Well, not much mail, George. Just a few late Christmas cards and... Why, George!
I made a teeter-totter. And I did it in 6 minutes flat.
Oh, I'm proud of you, darling. Only 6 minutes? Why, it says right here in the box, to make a teeter-totter should take the average child about... Well, it's new to you.
What does it say the average child should take?
30 seconds.
Well, anyway, this thing is sure a lot of fun. And now I'm going to start a steam shovel. Come in.
Mr. Burns?
Yes, what is it, son?
I believe you've got my Erector set by mistake.
Huh?
My name is Georgie Lemaire, and I live across the street. And the delivery man says he got the wrong house and left it here.
Oh, we're sorry it happened, little boy. Put it in the box, George, and give it to him.
Wait a minute. Look, kid. How would you like to have a nice smoking jacket? $110 smoking jacket.
No, sir, I want my Erector set.
Well, give it to him, George.
But, kid, look. This smoking jacket is from Eddie Cantor.
Who's he?
Who's he? Tell him, Gracie.
Why, Sonny, Eddie Cantor is the man who... He tells all those... He's the biggest... Give him the Erector set.
Now, look, kid, can't we make a deal? This is a beautiful smoking jacket.
I want my Erector set.
Oh, all right. But let me finish the steam shovel first.
By then, he'll be old enough for the smoking jacket.
Never mind. How about it, kid?
I want my erector set.
Now, look. I wouldn't want to use force on an 8-year-old. But I'm going to finish that steam shovel if I have to throw you down and sit on you.
No, you're not. You give me that.
Now, let go of that. Let go.
Oh, shame on you, you bully. You let him up this instant. There. Now, you take your erector set and go home, Sonny. Did he hurt you, George?
Kid, he would have to come after his erector set just when I was getting interested.
Oh, well, never mind, dear. You'll get over it.
But I wanted to finish that steam shovel.
Oh, well, there. Mama will make some ice cream and let you lick the dasher.
Oh, stop. Just because I happen to enjoy building things. Come in.
Hello, all.
Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Somebody took away his erector set.
Oh, well, George, I don't have an erector set, but I'd be glad to lend you my set of tiddlywinks. Although it's not quite complete.
Look, Meredith,
all the winks are there, but in the excitement of a recent game, I broke my red tiddly.
Meredith?
Or, you might be interested in a Cupid doll I have, which, when patted on the stomach, says Mama.
No, I'm not interested.
Would you care to hear how I got that Cupid doll?
No.
It was at the Saragorda County Fair back in 1928. There was a booth there where for a nickel you could buy 3 baseballs, hurl them at assorted knickknacks, and keep whatever knickknack you knocked over. I purchased 3 balls and let fly with the right goodwill.
And you knocked over the Cupid doll?
No, I knocked over J.C. Tolliver, a local apothecary. He was at a nearby booth eating hot buttered popcorn.
My goodness.
Undismayed, I cut loose with the second baseball.
Oh, and that time you got the Cupid doll.
No, got J.C. Tolliver again. He was bending over to pick up his hot buttered popcorn.
Show me how he was bending over, Meredith.
Like this, George.
Ow! Goodbye, Meredith.
Goodbye, all.
Oh, yes. Tiddlywinks. All I want is an erector set so I can build a steam shovel.
And unless you get one, there'll never be an end to this. You wait here.
Gee, Gracie, you shouldn't have done it.
Well, George, I knew you wouldn't be happy until you had an erector set, so I went to the store and got you one.
Boy. Hey, where'd you get the money?
I traded the smoking jacket for it.
You traded Eddie Cantor's $110 smoking jacket for this erector set?
That smoking jacket didn't cost $110, dear. I talked to the man Eddie bought it from.
But it had a big price tag on it.
He bought that from the same man.
Well, how much did Eddie pay for the jacket? $100?
No.
$75?
Nope.
$50?
Mm-mm.
How much?
Well, the erector set was 12.5.
Yeah.
I traded the smoking jacket.
Yeah.
We owe the store 2.5.
The smoking jacket cost $10.
That included 4 boxes of cigars.
The cigars I didn't even get.
You didn't get the set of dishes either.
A set of dishes came with it?
And a pocket knife.
A pocket knife?
And a round trip to Azusa.
Murder. I'd like to have had the pocket knife.
Yeah. Well, the salesman said that that knife really should be in the pocket of the smoking jacket at all times.
Why?
Well, in case you spill water on the jacket, you can cut your way out before it chokes you to death.
He's exaggerating. Besides, I don't care what Eddie paid for the jacket. It's the spirit of the gift that counts. Now, you go right back to the May Company and get it.
It didn't come from the May Company.
Bullocks?
No.
Broadway?
Uh-uh.
Where?
Laughing Frankie Gordon.
That smiling Frankie Gordon.
He laughed when he saw that.
Well, you get it back here. No matter what the jacket is worth, it's Eddie's gift to me, and I want it. Besides, I don't believe all that stuff about a free trip to Azusa and a set of dishes. Reddy Cantor's got plenty of money and he... Come in.
Oh, Merry Christmas, George and Gracie. Merry Christmas.
Well, Eddie. Yeah.
Eddie, you're a day late with your Merry Christmas.
I know, Gracie. I got caught overnight in Azusa.
Azusa?
Yeah, I just happened to have a round-trip ticket.
I see. Eddie, what did you give Ida for Christmas?
Ida, oh, a lovely gift. A set of dishes.
I thought so.
And how about your five daughters?
Well, to Janet, the oldest one, I gave a beautiful pocket knife. Then to each of the other four girls, I gave a box of cigars.
Cigars?
Money is no object to me.
But, Eddie, your daughters don't smoke cigars.
Their husbands can smoke them.
But won't the cigars be awfully stale by then?
You... They'll be dead and buried by then. Oh, yes, oh, yes. But enough about my Christmas. Did you get the smoking jacket I sent you, George?
Oh, yes. Thanks, Eddie.
Oh, that's all right. What's $110 among friends?
Who said anything about $110?
The price tag came off? Why, how could it? I stuck it on with a Pabst beer label. Oh, well, as long as I know you got it. Well, now, how would you two like to eat dinner with me, huh?
Oh, we'd love it.
Well, thanks. Now, don't fix anything extra, Gracie. I'll take potluck.
You're eating here?
Well, yes, I want to see George in that beautiful smoking jacket I gave him. Why don't you put it on right now, George?
Yes. Gracie, run get that jacket for
me. Yeah, all right. It's in the next room. I'll be back in a half hour.
Yeah. Wait a minute. It takes you a half hour to walk into the next room and back?
Thick carpets.
Oh, yes, yes. let me get it for you.
No,
huh?
No. I just happened to think. I took the smoking jacket to the cleaners.
I... Already?
Well, yeah, George got smoke on it. Right back.
Well, look, my car's out front. I'll drive you to the cleaner.
Oh, no. I'm too tired. I'd rather walk. Goodbye.
Gee, I hope she gets it, Eddie. I wouldn't want anything to happen to a $110 jacket.
Look, George, we've known each other for 25 years. You and I, well, we can be honest with each other. That jacket didn't cost $110.
No?
No. I put that price tag on it so as not to embarrass you.
Embarrass me?
How would you feel if you knew I really paid $150 for it?
I'd die.
They Say It's Wonderful. Our nomination for the best song of 1946. Meredith Wilson and his music. George, is Gracie here?
No, Bill. She's going to pick up my smoking jacket. You know Eddie Cantor, don't you?
Oh, of course. Hello, Mr. Cantor.
Oh, Bill, my boy. How are you? Looks
fine.
Good. Haven't been by to call on my daughters lately.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I did call on your daughter Janet last night. You weren't there.
I know. I spent the night in Azusa. Bill, Bill, did you have a good time with Janet?
Well, Mr. Cantor, I would have, but...
But what?
When did she start carrying a pocket knife?
Smart Christmas present I gave her. How was Ida, Bill? Was she lonesome without me?
Well, I don't know. She was out seeing the Jolson story.
Every night Ida sees the Jolson story? She getting passes? Tell me, were the other girls home?
Oh, yes. They introduced me to a game called Break One and Get One.
Break One and Get One?
Yeah. It seems that some schnook gave Ida a cheap set of dishes. And she wanted the girls to get rid of them, so every time I broke one, I got a cigar.
A cigar?
Yeah, the same schnook gave the girls cigars.
I wonder who that schnook could be.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Cantor, speaking of the Jolson story, I think they should do a picture about you.
No, no, no. How would that sound, the schnook story? It's no good. It wouldn't work out.
Well, really, I think it's a great idea, Mr. Cantor. Now, Jolson had to have a handsome young fellow named Larry Parks to play his part, but you wouldn't need him.
That's right. I wouldn't.
No, I could do it.
Now, look, if you two think that you can...
Well, I'm back. We can have dinner now. Oh, hello, Bill.
Hi, Gracie.
George, may I speak to you alone for a moment?
Sure.
Excuse us, Eddie.
That's all right.
Did you get the smoking jacket?
Well, I couldn't. The store was closed.
And what's in the package?
Well, I stopped by the cleaners and got your overcoat. You can wear that at the dinner table.
An overcoat?
Well, we'll tell Eddie you're wearing the smoking jacket under it.
He'll think I'm crazy.
No, he won't. We'll open all the windows and get it freezing cold in the house. Thank goodness we live in Los Angeles when you can do that.
Well, that's a big help. Gracie, it doesn't happen to be freezing cold outside.
Well, open the windows anyway. In 2 minutes, he won't be able to see you for the smog.
That won't work either.
Oh, you put on the overcoat. I'll think of something.
Okay. Anything to keep Eddie from knowing you traded in his Christmas present.
Room. Dinner's on the table.
Oh, swell. I can't wait to see George in that smoking jacket.
Well, there he is.
Yeah, he's wearing an overcoat.
Well, naturally. We're having a cold meal.
Yes, I'm very sensitive to heat and cold.
What does he wear when you have a hot meal?
I don't know. Ladies aren't allowed.
You like this meal, Eddie? Sliced bologna, cold chicken...
Yeah, oh, the chicken's another reason for the overcoat. It saves wear and tear on the tablecloth.
How?
Well, he can stick the bones in his pocket.
It's neater that way.
Chicken, Eddie?
Thanks. It seems a shame to cover up a $200 smoking jacket.
The last time you mentioned the price, it was $150.
What a memory. Well, there were a few extras. Special buttons, fancy buttonholes, a $10 tip for the boy who delivered it.
Bologna, Eddie?
Only the part about the tip. Oh, you're passing the bologna. Thanks.
Whatever it cost, Eddie, I really appreciate it.
Well, don't mention it, George. I'm just a generous, open-handed type that loves to do things for my friends.
Applesauce, Eddie?
You're asking me to have some?
Yes.
Oh, in that case, thanks. As I was saying, George... I'm the generous type, and I never expect a favor in return. When I bought you that smoking jacket, I had no idea that I'd be asking you to appear on my radio program next Thursday night.
Applesauce, Eddie.
I just took some.
This time I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
Well, how about you two coming on my show next week? I can arrange it so you won't have to pay any income tax.
That's great. How can you do that?
It's simple. I won't give you any money. But for old time's sake... What do you say, kids, huh?
Okay, Eddie, we'll be on your program. Let's get to work on the script. I'll take off my coat and
no,
we'll start
No, don't, George, no. Don't take the coat off. No, no, no.
Hey, wait a minute. There's no smoking jacket under that overcoat.
George, you've been robbed.
Huh?
The thief must still be here. Don't leave this room, Eddie Cantor.
Gracie Allen, I did not steal it.
Oh, it's no use, Gracie. We might as well confess. Eddie, we traded the smoking jacket in for an Erector set.
An Erector set? For that $300 smoking jacket? That came with gold buttons and velvet lapels and silk lining that lit up
and
with neon signs?
A set of dishes and a pocket knife.
And a round trip to Azusa? Oh, you know about that.
Eddie, we know the jacket cost $10.
Gee, I'm sorry, kids. Naturally, now I can't ask you to appear on my program for nothing. Honestly, I feel terrible.
Well, why don't you pay us?
No, then I'll feel worse. Well, I guess it's the only decent thing to do. Come on, you two come over to my house and I'll make it worth your while, huh?
Well, thanks again, Eddie.
Not at all, Gracie. I'll see you and George on my program next Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Eddie.
Goodbye, children.
Well, Gracie, what did Eddie give you?
George, I'll never have to ask you for money again.
You won't?
No. Whenever I want some, I'll just pull this pocket knife on you.
Oh.
Join us again next week when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin.
An NBC broadcast of Burns and Allen from December 26, 1946. And that brings to an end this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Thanks for tuning in.